Carey Strug was an Olympic gymnast who was on the women's gymnastic team in the 1996 Olympics. And she had the weight of the Olympic gold medal for her team on her shoulders. I don't know if any of you remember that. I remember watching that. All she had to do was to complete a vault. You know, they run down that runway and they hit the pommel horse and do the somersaults. And all she had to do is hit that vault and score a high enough score, and the United States team would win the gold medal. But there was a problem. On her first try, on her first vault, she ran down, hit the horse, up in the air, and I don't know how they do all those, you know. But when she came down, she landed funny, fell, and she badly sprained her ankle. There she sat on that mat, tears coming down her eyes. She said, there was two reasons I was crying. Number one, it hurt. Man, my ankle was, it was messed up. And number two, I realized that this wasn't going to happen. I wasn't going to be able to make that vault. She had one more try. One more time she could have performed and got the score. But she said, as she sat there, there's just no way this is going to happen. And there she was in tears. But she got up, and as she looked over to the side, there was her coach. And her coach was saying, "You can do it, Carey. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do it." And all the time she's thinking, "I can't do it. I can't do it." But she kept her eyes on the coach. And she limped back to the runway, to the start, where she would have to start again. Again, tears are coming down her face. And with that ankle that was badly sprained, she somehow got the courage. And the coach is there, "You can do it! You can do it!" And she started running down that runway again. And if you remember, she hit the pommel horse up in the air. And she knew, "I've got to stick this landing to get the score to win the gold medal." And she came down, I'll never forget, on one foot and stuck the landing and scored enough to bring home the gold. She said later, "How did you do this? How did you do it on that sprained ankle? Ankles badly sprained. How did you do that? How did you find the courage?" She said, "It was my coach. He kept on yelling encouragement. You can do it. You can do it. I believe in you. You can do it." And that gave me something that I didn't have in myself and helped me to be able to make that vault and win the gold. Do you ever get discouraged? You know, don't we all get discouraged at times? I mean, all you have to do is go home at night and put 5 minutes on news on for 5 minutes. And if you're not discouraged, man, oh man, we live in a discouraging world. In fact, the Bible says, you know, the closer we get to the time of the Lord's return, it says there's going to be perilous times. I just kind of think maybe we're there, huh? Perilous times, difficult times, dangerous times, depraved times, deceitful times, and discouraging times. That, as we get closer to the Lord's coming, that's what the Bible says, perilous times are coming. And sometimes it's easy to get discouraged. And not only just the world, but our world. You know, we go through things, don't we? We go through struggles in our lives that You know, it can be discouraging. This last year, I've had to fight some discouragement in my life. I mean, you go through trials. You go through situations that are, I don't know, they just hurt. And you get discouraged. And every one of us, I think, in times like that especially, needs some encouragement. Well, we're in a series of messages for those that are new, and I know there's a number of new people here today, on the one another statements in the Bible, how you can be a blessing to others in the church. And you remember there are blankety blank numbers. 55. Thank you. My son did get it. Where are you, Jeff? There you go. He got it. 55 statements in the New Testament that deal with how we treat each other in the church, how we relate to one another, how we minister to one another, and how we can bless one another in the church. And the overall statement, the umbrella statement is what? Love one another. That's what we're to do. That's not a suggestion. That's a command. You know, I tell people, you don't have to like me, but you got to love me, right? Love one another. And then all the other one another statements in the Bible flesh that out. Tell us how we're to love one another. And today we're going to take a look at several of those statements. And they deal with the ministry of encouragement. So take your Bibles, open to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, where we find our first statement here. Hebrews 3:13. I love this verse. I love this verse. It's a good verse to memorize. It's a good verse to live. Hebrews 3:13 says, "But encourage one another day after day, as long as it's called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Now, the context of the book and the context of that verse. Again, this is written in the first century. In the first century, it was not an easy place to live, especially if you were a Christian. There was persecution going on. People were being killed for their faith. This book was probably written when Nero was the emperor. You know, he burned Christians. He put Christians in the arena to the lions. I mean, we think we have bad leaders in Washington. Some bad leader. I'll tell you what, Nero has a bad leader, you know. And it was discouraging days. And this was written to Hebrew Christians. This was written to Jewish believers. And some of them were what we would call Messianic Jews. They had accepted Christ as their Savior. In fact, all the first Christians were Jewish, right? They were all Jewish. But then the Gentiles came in. But this congregation or this group that this book is written to were Jewish believers. Or they were Jewish. They were a mixed multitude. There were believers in the group, believers in the congregation, truly saved people. And then there were other people that had not made that commitment yet. They were enlightened. They saw things going on in the congregation, but they had not come to the point where they had received Christ. You know, I thought about that. You know what? That's kind of like almost most churches today, right? Most churches today, you have people that are truly saved, people that know the Lord, people that are redeemed. Yes. Amen? But, you know, there are people, maybe they've been in church all their life. Maybe they have a head knowledge. They know about the Lord, but they're not yet saved. Well, that was this group. It's a kind of a mixed multitude. And in verse 7 of chapter 3, it talks about the Holy Spirit trying to speak to these people, and especially to those that weren't yet in. It says, "Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you would hear his voice, Do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness. You know what? When you hear, he's saying here, listen, if you're here today and you hear God speaking to you, God speaks in his church. And if you hear him, don't harden your heart. Don't harden your heart. Receive Christ. Amen. Invite him into your heart. Don't harden your heart. You know what? It's a dangerous thing to listen to the word of God. Did you know that? Because when you listen to the word of God, you got to respond. You got to respond. You have to either go further away from Christ, or you got to get closer to Christ. There's no in between. You know? You either respond and you listen and you obey, or you get further away. It's just like two people in the church, two non-believers in the church. They hear the same message. One gets saved. One walks out a little further away from the Lord. It's dangerous to listen to the word of God. It's like, you know, the sun shines on butter. What happens? It melts. Same sun shines on clay. It gets hard. And there were people in the church, in this congregation, that were listening, but they were hardening their hearts. And in fact, some of these people were either thinking of, and maybe some had even left the congregation, and they were thinking of going back into Judaism, going back under the law, going back to temple worship. That's all in this book of Hebrews. And the writer of Hebrews is trying to say, no, Jesus Christ is the sacrifice. Yes. You can't go back to the old way. Right. If you reject Jesus, in fact, he says down here in verse 12, look at verse 12. Take care, brethren, that there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. See, some of these people were thinking of leaving Christianity or what they knew of Christianity and going back to the old way and falling away from the living God. You know, when people reject the truth, when people leave the church and leave the truth, that can be mighty discouraging. They lived in discouraging days and discouraging things were happening. And right in the middle of that, verse 13, it says, here's our one another statement, but encourage one another. Encourage one another. What is encouragement? Well, it means to give support. It means to give confidence or hope to someone. It means to hearten, to cheer, to uplift, to inspire, to motivate. Just like Kerry Strug's coach. To motivate, to give courage to people, to lift them up. Encouragement. In fact, this word's an interesting word when it says encourage one another. It's the Greek word parakaleo. And what it means is, para means to come alongside, and kaleo means to call. And it means to come alongside and call out encouragement or call out help to someone. I thought about this and I thought of an incident in my life back a long time ago when I was in the Army. I had just finished basic training and now I was in advanced individual training, AIT. And to pass that, you had to run 2 miles. Now, for some of you, you say, oh, that's nothing. I hate running. I've always hated running. I got through the 1 mile in basic training, but when we got to AIT, we had to run 2 miles. And I'm thinking, oh, gee, I'm not looking forward to this. And it's timed, you know, you have to run it in a certain amount of time. But that day, I paired up with another guy who was a runner. He was a long distance runner in high school. And so we paired up together. And we started running. I couldn't believe it. I was actually running. You know, I was actually, we were out in front of everybody. We were leaving everybody way behind. I mean, I'm thinking, man, this is pretty cool. And he said, yeah, this is neat, man. And we're running together. We're running. And then we hit the 1 mile mark. And oh, my side started aching. And my legs started feeling like lead pipes. And he looked over at me and I'm like this. And he said, what's wrong? What's wrong? I said, I don't think I can do this. And I said, I think I'm going to have to quit. And he said, no, come on. You can do it. You can do it. Come on, I'll run with you. Come on. He grabbed my arm, actually. And he's dragging me down. You know? But he was encouraging me. And, well, the good news is I finished. I wasn't up in the front, but I wasn't last. But I don't know if I'd have finished unless he'd have given me, come alongside and give me encouragement. You know, and actually this word, it's really interesting. This word, a form of this word, Jesus uses in John 14:16 for a name for the Holy Spirit. He's the paraclete. He's, you know, the Holy Spirit's the encourager. He comes alongside us and helps us in the Christian life. Amen?
Yes, amen.
Amen. And so the Holy Spirit does this, and God says, you know what? In the church, we need to do this with one another. You know, we need, when somebody's struggling, when somebody is discouraged, we need to come alongside them and encourage them. Come on, I'm here. We can do this. You can do this. Well, better than you can do this, you know what? Christ can do this in you. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We have to come alongside of one another and encourage each other. Now, when should we do that? Or when do we need to do that? Well, I love how this is put, don't you? So that we will not, it says, so that we need to encourage one another continually, day after day. Amen. As long as it's called today.
Yeah.
When is it never called today?
It's
never. It's always today.
Yeah.
That means we always need to what? Be encouraging. Encouraging one another. I'll tell you, discouragements, discouraging words, discouraging situations seem to be around every corner.
Yeah.
But you know what? We need to be in the church. We need to be positively encouraging one another day after day, as long as it's called today. Why? So that our hearts aren't hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. That's what we need to do. So that our hearts aren't hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. We need to be telling each other and encouraging them, keep walking with the Lord. Keep trusting in Jesus. Keep serving the Lord no matter how tough it gets. Keep your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross.
Amen.
Keep your eyes on Jesus.
Yes.
He didn't quit. Don't you quit. Come on. We can do this. We can do this. Keep running the race. You know what, folks? The finish line's not far. It's not far. It's not far. And we're on the winning team.
Amen.
We win the gold. Praise God. We need to encourage each other in the Christian. Let me ask you. I'm going to throw this out. How can we encourage one another? How can we do that? I need input. I don't know how to encourage people. Give me one way.
Pray.
Okay. We can pray for somebody or with somebody. That's a good way to encourage. What's another way? Walk with them. Walk with them. We can encourage them with our presence and just walking with them through a trial. Loving them, showing real love to them. How else can we encourage?
Just be there for them.
Be there for them. That's the presence there. Being there is an encouragement. What else? Come on, there's some other. There's got to be some other.
Send a card.
Send a card to them. A lot of you have cards of encouragement that you send out. Praise God. Somebody else?
Take a meal
to them. T- Take a meal to the pastor. Encourage him. I'll tell you, after what I'm going to go through in the next 2 weeks, I'm going to need some meals because I'm going to lose some weight. And I'll need some meals. Encourage me. Okay, take a meal. What? You know, phone call. A text. You know? Just share a scripture. Share a scripture. You can text somebody. Text somebody a scripture. That's a great way to encourage. Any others? Just listen to them and try to understand where they are. Is that what you said, Annie?
Right, without judgment.
Without judgment. Praise God. We need to encourage one another. When? Day after day.
All the time.
All the time, as long as it's called today. Yes. And you know, if we do that, then our hearts will stay right with God.
Yes.
So encourage one another. What a great ministry. Some of you have a great ministry of encouragement in this church. I mean, keep it up. And all of us need to have that ministry. Amen. Now, second one another statement. Turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And this is, the statement is, consider one another. Now, actually, my translation in 10:24 and 25 says, and let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near.
Amen.
Now, the context of this, if you look in chapter 10, is Jesus, 10 verses 10 through 12. Basically, what you have there is Jesus is the once and for all sacrifice for sin.
Amen.
Once and for all. Jesus is the great high priest, and he was the one who offered the sacrifice, and he himself was the sacrifice. Jesus went and sat down at the right hand of God. The work of salvation is finished. That's context. And what he did through his sacrifice is that he opened up a way for us to go to God, straight to God.
Yes.
And it's through his flesh, it says, that we can go straight to God. And we have a high priest, a great high priest, Jesus Christ. And we need no other high priest.
Amen.
We need no other priest. We can go straight to God through Jesus. Now look down at verse 22. In verses 22 through 24, we have the let us statements. Not the vegetable. Not the let us. Let us. Three let us statements. The first one is let us draw near. Do you see it in verse 22? Let us draw near. Since Jesus opened the door for us to have direct fellowship with God, let us enter the privilege and draw near.
Amen.
Let us enter that privilege. In the Old Testament, one person, once a year, could enter the immediate presence of God. The old, the high priest, on the day of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, could take blood and enter behind the veil. Once a year. Once a year. But now, the veil has been written too. And we can go into God. Can you imagine? What if you could go right now, drive to Washington, D.C., walk up to the White House and say, hi, I'd like to go in, and they just open the door, and I want to go to the Oval Office, and you could just go right into the Oval Office. Wouldn't that be something? I mean, some people can do that. I mean, Mike Pence can do it. I think Melania probably can do it. We can go into the Oval Office of the universe. So, let us draw near. Let us draw near, it says, with a sincere heart, full of assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean of an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. That's what happens when you get saved. Jesus opened the way. He cleansed us. So now let us draw near. Let's take advantage of that and go to God often. Spend time in the presence of the Lord. Then we have a second let us, and that's the let us hold fast. See it there in verse 23? Let us hold fast. And some believe this is referring to the perseverance of the saints. You know, not that, listen, when you get saved, you don't hold on to your salvation. No, he holds on to you, right? And we're in good hands with Jesus. You know, we're in good hands with Jesus. We don't hold on, but the fact that we do hold on is an evidence that we're saved. That's what the reformers called the perseverance of the saints. That the saints will persevere. There's perseverance of the saints, and the saints will persevere. If you're a true Christian, you are saved, and God is holding on to you. And we can't lose that. Praise God. Praise God for that. But some think this is talking about that. But here it says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Yes. And I think there were some here that were tempted to kind of not confess Christ. I don't know if it's because of persecution. They were holding back their testimony. And he says, listen, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Don't waver in that. I'll tell you, if you're saved, go tell somebody. If you're redeemed, we need to let people know we're redeemed. Thank you, Danny, for getting up and sharing how Christ redeemed your heart. We need to do that. We need to share that. We need to do that because we need to be faithful. Why? See the last part of that? For he who promised is faithful. He's faithful. Now we need to faithfully go out and share our confession of the hope that's within us. But then we come to that third one. And here is our one another statement. Let us consider. My translation says, let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. But the King James Version reads, and let us consider one another. That's a little different. But as I check that out, I think the King James is more to the original there. Let us consider one another. What's that mean? Consider one another. Well, you know what I think it means? Christianity is not a me thing. It's all about me. You know, I come to church, bless me. I come to church, minister to me. I come to church, play my kind of music. You know what? Christianity is not all about me. Consider one another. You know, I've had people tell me, and I can't figure this out. They will say something and that I'm a Christian, but I don't need church. What? I'm a Christian. I can be a Christian and not go to church. Well, probably technically that's true. Probably. You can't be an obedient Christian and not go to church. You see, and when somebody says that, I don't need church. Folks, and I say this with love, that's selfish. That's selfish. It's you don't need church, but you know what? Church needs you. Church needs you. And I said this when I was preaching that series on I Love the Church. And I had a good report on Friday night because somebody had a friend who said, I don't go to church. I don't need church. And she said, well, what about the church needing you? She just got together with this friend last week. And this person told me Friday night, she said, you know, when you said that to me, I couldn't get that out of my mind. And I've been to church the last 3 weeks. Praise God. You see, consider one another. It's not about me. It's not about just you. It's we got to consider each other. To what? To stimulate, to stir up. The word means to sharpen, to incite one another. To what? Love and good deeds. Love and good deeds. That's what we need. We need to do that. We need to consider one another. And how do you stir up somebody to love and good deeds? I think mainly it's by example. It's by sharing your testimony. When we share here in church. You know, if somebody comes to this church, and I just thank God for our church, because I see a lot of this stuff going on in the church, and it's so good. But they experience that love in this church. You know what? And they see the blessings when somebody ministers to somebody else. They just might be stirred up to get busy and start doing it too. Amen? It's by our example. The more this happens in this church, the more it's going to happen more and more and more. And you know what? We're going to get in that church, and it's going to, that building, excuse me, church, that building, we're the church. We're going to get in that building, and we're not going to have enough room. We're going to have to build another church. No. We're going to have to plant another church. Plant some other churches. Because when you have a church where love's going on, when people are stirring up people to love and good deeds, that attracts people. People want to be a part of a church like that, a body like that. And we need to consider one another, and we need to stir up one another. And when you experience the blessings and see the blessings, you want to bless others. And you know, we're going to need this, especially as we see the day approaching. And it is. I will tell you, the day's approaching. Jesus is coming back. So we need to encourage one another. We need to consider one another and stir up one another. And Jesus is coming. So let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 for our third one. We need to comfort one another. 1 Thessalonians. And look at chapter 4. And actually verses 13 through 18. But the context in this verse, we're going to see, is the church in the Thessalonican church, there were some believers that had lost loved ones. And they were concerned because they were living in the light of the coming of Jesus Christ. In fact, I think they had the blessed hope. They thought maybe Jesus would come in their lifetime. But they had lost some loved ones. And the question came up in their minds, oh my, they died. Are they going to miss out on the blessings of the second coming of Christ? Are they going to miss out on the blessings of the parousia, the appearing of Christ when Christ comes back? There's going to be great blessings for the people of God. Are the ones that have died, are they going to miss out? In fact, when Christ comes back, are we going to see our loved ones again? Are we going to see them again? And so Paul, and they're grieving. Do Christians grieve? Oh, yeah. But we don't grieve as those who have no hope. We grieve, there's grief. But not as those who have no hope. And they were grieving. And so Paul writes what he writes. And let me just read this. It says in verse 13, "But we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, ignorant brethren, about those who are asleep, those who have died, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we will ever be with the Lord." Amen. Comfort one another with these words. Comfort one another with these words. He said, you know what? Is the Lord coming back? He's coming back. The Lord, he's not going to send angels for us. He's not going to send cherubim or seraphim or an archangel. He's the Lord himself is coming. He is coming back. And he's going to descend with a shout, with a stentorian voice. The shout of command. I don't know what it is, but I was reading in Matthew chapter 25, the parable of the 10 virgins. And the shout that came was, behold, the bridegroom comes. Come out to meet him. Come up to meet him. I don't know if that's it or not. I don't know. But he's going to shout. Voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. You remember in the Old Testament, trumpets were used for three purposes. To gather people together, to call people to war, and to call people to move out. And when that trumpet sounds, he's going to call all believers together. He's going to declare, he's already declared war on Satan, but Satan is going to try to hold us down. He's going to rip us out. And he's going to call us to move out or move up. And we're going to go up to be with the Lord. So the return. But before the return, he said there's going to be a resurrection. All those people that have died in Christ, the graves will open. And they will be. I'll tell you what. And I say this to Gail and Ivan. And we express our sympathy to them at the homegoing of Tom. Gail's dad this last week, a beautiful service that we had on Friday. But you know what? He's going to get there first.
Yes,
he's going to get there first. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Yes. And then we who are alive, Paul expected to go in the rapture. We who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. That's the rapture of the church.
Yes.
We're going to be caught up. Caught away speedily, in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, we're going to go and we're going to be with the Lord. And he's going to take us. And we're going to be caught up together with them. There's going to be a great reunion of those loved ones that have gone on and those that are alive and caught up. We're going to see those who preceded us. We're going to know them. Praise God. What a reunion. And I'll tell you, this last fall, I went to my 50th high school reunion. Boy, do those people look old. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know. It was bittersweet. Bittersweet. But I'll tell you what, I'm looking forward to that reunion. This reunion. The reunion in the sky. And I'll tell you what, we're all going to look really good. Pastor Les is going to look good. You're going to look good. Yeah. And we're going to be caught up, the rapture, the reunion. And he says, you know what? Comfort one another with these words. You know, there's nothing more comforting than sound doctrine.
Yes. Yes.
Sound doctrine. I'll tell you, sometimes we get off, sometimes we get discouraged, sometimes we get down, sometimes we grieve. But I'll tell you what, the sound doctrine of Scripture is a comfort. It's a comfort. And I'll tell you what, there are people that are grieving. And we all go through that. But in the church, we need to consider one another. We comfort and it was brought out by several people. Sometimes just being there. Sometimes you don't even have to say anything. It's the gift of presence. Just being there when people are going through it. Sometimes it is a sensitive use of the Word of God and sharing of the Scripture that can bring great comfort. But we need to be having that kind of ministry here in the church. We need to encourage one another. We need to consider and stimulate one another unto love and good deeds. And we need to be comforting one another in the church. We do this, and I'll tell you what, people see that. I'll tell you what, we won't have enough, again, we'll have to, I don't know what we'll do. I don't want to do two services. We're going to plant churches. And that's what God wants. Well, all that I can say is, here's your assignment. This week, Nike it. Nike it. Just do it. I mean it. Encourage somebody this week. Think about others. How can I really stir up somebody to love and good deeds? And comfort somebody this week. Amen. Lord, we just bow before you and thank you for the word of God and help us, Lord, to make us a blessing, Lord. out in the highways and byways of life, Lord, and in the church, there's many weary and sad. Use us this week, Lord, to bring encouragement to the body. And for all you do, we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.